HarperCollins presents Two Sisters, written and read by Blake Morrison. Chapter 1. Early January, and I'm with Kathy and our three children at Mum and Dad's house in Yorkshire. We drove up 2 days ago after spending Christmas at home in London, and we'll be heading off again tomorrow. Staying here is more of a squeeze than it used to be in the rectory, where my sister Jill and I grew up. Designing and building the new house, in a field at the back of the old house, was Dad's great project when he and Mum retired as GPs, and he's pleased by how it turned out. He has named it Windy Ridge, after the house where he spent his childhood. There's a big garden, with fine views across the hills towards the Trough of Bowland, and despite the winds that whip through, it's warm, which the old house never was. Best of all, Jill is living right next door, with her husband Wynne and their two small children, Liam and Louise. It's what Dad always wanted, to have his children and grandchildren close at hand. Though I've disappointed him by living so far away, his daughter's there on his doorstep. An ideal arrangement. Perhaps, for Jill, it's less than ideal. Here she is now, hiding out in Dad's garage at 10:30 in the morning, one hand on the bonnet of his Toyota Corolla to stop her from keeling over, wormy clusters of veins at the corners of her eyes. I've come through into the garage to get some logs for the fire. An hour ago, Wynne dropped Liam and Louise round on his way to work, saying that Jill was still in bed and would be over later. Here she is. Here, but not here. Lurking in the garage. Come through, I say. It's cold in here. I brought some gloves for the kids, she says, so they can play outside. Good thinking, I say. Gloves for the kids. And here I am, handling Jill with kid gloves, avoiding any comment on her condition. The elephant in the garage. Yesterday, at our New Year's lunch, she made a bitter, self-accusing remark about how much better Mum and Dad's turkey was than the one she cooked on Christmas Day. Subtext, I'm a failure, I'm useless at everything. I tried to talk to her afterwards, on the quiet, in the hallway. What's wrong, Jill? I said. Nothing. There must be something. I might as well top myself, that's all. The kids would rather be here than with me. Granny and Grandpa's, when can we go there, Mum? Wynne would be better off without me too. He's got everything on a plate as it is. The kids, his meals, his nights out, drinking away my money. But he'll have even more if I'm gone. And you? You're never here. What do you care? You've always been their number one. Now you can be their only one. I've had no life. I don't know what I want, and even if I did, I couldn't get it. I haven't the will. I haven't the strength. I might as well top myself. She went on in this vein for some minutes until Wynne, back from work, walked in on us and she clammed up, went back into the living room and, despite struggling not to fall asleep, got herself together to do a jigsaw on the floor with Liam. Soon afterwards, they all went home together. I imagined the scene back at the house after Wynne and the kids were in bed. Jill helping herself from the Liebfrau milk box in the drinks cabinet, or if it was empty, looking for one of the other wine boxes secreted about her home, in the doll's house, down the back of the hot water cistern, behind the hoover in the cupboard under the stairs. Just a nightcap, she'd tell herself. And if none was to be found because Wynne had been on one of his purges and removed all the drink he could find, there might be a jar or a jug in the kitchen into which she'd poured emergency supplies. She's resourceful, my sister, and never more herself than when outwitting those who try to save her from herself. Now she stands there, swaying in the garage. I move forward to take her arm and steady her, but recoil from her wine-dark breath. She has holed up here rather than enter the house, where Mum and Dad will see the state she is in. She knows what they'll say, has heard it all before, and isn't in the mood for recriminations. Why not go home for a bit, Jill, I say. The kids'll be fine. Yeah, she says. No one wants me here. What's the point in staying when...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?